Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz _ radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Wednesday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke. Hope you're doing well on this Wednesday. We are getting close. We need the game week to get here. We need kickoff to get here. We'll get you through it.
We're almost there, man.
I know, but aren't you kind of amped? You've been waiting, and now you're home. It's almost like Christmas morning.
Yeah, it's the home stretch.
Getting there. We'll have plenty of thoughts from Coach Walters today. He spoke. Wasn't a great day for the offense. We'll hear his thoughts. Coach Walters here in the next 15 minutes. His comments today. Some news and notes as the roster continues to turn over. We'll run down Derek Peterson of HailVarsity.com and magazine. Dr. Petey will be with us around 4:25. Mike Shewhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf. Shuey going to be in. We'll talk some more Tiger and Ryder Cup thoughts and just how the fall golf is shaping up, because you're going to have some night games, which means you still have time to tailgate, which means you still have time for a morning tee off. It's beautiful. Parker Gabriel, Lincoln Journal star, in 1 hour. And then our conversation with Donovan Williams, really talented basketball player from Lincoln North Star. Donovan committing to Tim Miles in Nebraska basketball. So we'll talk with Donovan Williams coming up. You can tap the line. Schilling Bridge Cork and Tap House lets you do that. 466-3776. 466-3776. 800-825-5865. You can find us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio. Give me a follow. Give Danny a follow at DannyBurke5. And as always, at Hail Varsity. Those are the ways to get in touch with us. Can email Chris at HailVarsity.com. So you have two big names and two four-star recruits that are no longer part of Nebraska football. And Avery Roberts, man, a guy that was pretty big time. I mean, he was a monster get for Nebraska for Mike Riley's class, the highest ranked member, I think, of their 2016 recruiting class, and it just never worked out for him at linebacker on the inside at Nebraska. And you have not only a tremendous teacher, but technician, and a guy who's done it a certain way in high school, in college, and in the NFL, in Barrett Rood, kind of captaining the ship here for the linebacking core. And Avery Roberts, remember being in front of Barrett when he was asked about Avery, and it was post spring, and the bottom line was put down. Look, you gotta get better movements, and you gotta get into better shape, specifically with this offense and specifically with this defense that will require you, because of its offense, to maybe play just a boatload of plays. And you just never materialized. And I think there was some frustration, quite obviously some frustration, with the depth chart. Avery Roberts says, give me my Scully, I need to go elsewhere. That is what's happened. And Nebraska right now on the inside, who are the names you've heard? Who are the names you've seen? And you've seen Dedrick Young, you've seen Mo Berry, you've seen Will Honus, and now you've had more of Colin Miller working on the inside versus kind of swinging between outside and inside. There's four. And the way this defense wants to roll is they want twos and twos and twos. And Avery just wasn't going to be buried. So let's do a change of scenery, and there you go. And Avery's one of these guys, based on the hype around him and based on some of the film and the talent level and kind of some of the peer recruiting, I shouldn't say peer recruiting, but the peer group recruiting him. I mean, it was a major get for Nebraska, but you gotta put the time in. And another guy in Jalen Barnett. I remember talking to his high school coach I mean, fireworks weren't set off, but people thought about it with Jalen Barnett on the offensive line out of Oklahoma. He was a four-star dude at guard. And Greg Austin let the folks know today that he retired from football due to concussions. Five in Nebraska, two from high school. That's seven. And that's a lot of dings to the head. And he took a pretty bad one last week. And I don't know that, per, you know, paraphrasing Coach Austin's thoughts today, that you had Jalen really want to be around the program anymore. And that would be tough. If you can't play, it'd be hard to be around it. So those are two four-star guys from the Riley era that are gone. And you have Will Jackson take off yesterday. That's three guys that said, let's go somewhere else. Let's look elsewhere. One's retiring. And you just have, it's constant, Danny. You have this constant discussion about standard and culture and pushing yourself and the level that things need to be at for practice, that things need to be at for games. And I will say this again, it is a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle choice to play football for Nebraska with Scott Frost and his coaching staff. And do you want to invest in it? You sure as heck want to cheer for it as a Nebraska fan. But if you're 16 through 18, it's going to be brutally hard practices. It's going to be top of the line conditioning. And it's going to require insane amounts of mental toughness. But quite frankly, a lot of this world's not cut out for, but you're going to be better for it. And I'm not saying that every Roberts isn't mentally tough, but you have two choices, fight or flight. And Avery Roberts, as much talent as that guy's supposed to have, decided, I'm out. Barnett, health concerns with the concussion thing. But that guy has made very little headway since he's been at Nebraska. I know he was a scout team MVP, but Barnett's one of the guys that everybody, and when I say everybody, I mean just folks in the media, we're wondering what Jalen's body was going to look like each year. And it's gotten a little bit better. And it had gotten better this year. But too many dings. I get it. Will Jackson, trouble picking things up. You're off and you're going someplace else. So you had a lot of the Mike Riley era built on the hype and the hope of the offseason in recruiting. And we talked about a lot of the recruits during the Riley era. We talked to a lot of the recruits during the Riley era. And it seemed like, okay, there's this momentum and excitement, but it never happened on the field. And you've got more of an approach to go get really good players, but it's an approach to go get really good players that fit a scheme and system and above all fit a culture and a lifestyle. And good luck, God bless to the kids that are leaving the program, but there's just not going to be a lot of patty cake tolerated. And Avery Roberts is a guy that has so much talent, but you got to want to go kind of sharpen that talent. And if you're not going to play, you're going to get better? You're going to try and work your way up the depth chart? You're going to try and beat somebody out? Or is it just easier to move on? And maybe Nebraska's loaded with four deep at NFL linebackers on the inside. Maybe, maybe not. But it'll be interesting to see where Avery Roberts lands and what Jalen Barnett wants to do. So the other thing, too, is, I mean, Avery wasn't redshirted, right? He appeared in all 12 games in 2017. Special teams, and when things were out of hand, and they were out of hand a lot the wrong way. Four tackles, man. Barnett is a guy that we'll see. He did get some praise from Greg Austin, so that wasn't as much about being buried, although you look at some of the guys on the interior, and I know you have two seniors in Former and Foster at the guard spots, but there's room. at the guard spot, but health-wise, you can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can exclude Jalen Barnett from the conversation of not really getting the lifestyle just from the look of how many concussions he's suffered. He seems like a guy who wants to be there. Of course, he suffered so many already. And at this point, you know, like you mentioned, he wasn't getting as much playing time. Is it worth the risk for him in his personal life at that point? Which probably it's not. So he made the right decision, I would assume. And then with Avery Roberts and Will Jackson, yeah, I mean, they fall under the line of not suiting this lifestyle, not panning out, unfortunately, you could say, for both of those guys. Pretty hyped up coming in, especially Avery Roberts, and you know, he's got those other linebackers creeping in on him, mm-hmm. and clearly they're the ones getting in shape, they're the ones getting it, and he just didn't pan out, like I said. So, I mean, it's unfortunate, but you're kind of weeding out the weak here.
Well, and I'm wondering how the conversation went, because you're getting things set up from a depth chart standpoint. Nothing's been released, but you're going to have a situational scrimmage tomorrow. And you are going to get into Akron week. So you're going to have your ones and twos and threes ready. And if you see where you're at on the depth chart, you don't like it. It can't be, well, why am I fifth string? Why am I sixth string? You were told what you need to do. And part of that also is just that change in culture, where you had kind of a hands-off, more laid-back look the last 3 years. And some guys get really fired up about this. And when I talk about some guys, I'm talking about former players that aren't that far removed, that are just, they shake their head at what went on the last 3 years. When it comes to accountability and hands-on approach, and that's not every coach, that's not every strength and conditioning guy, but I'm saying from the top on down, it was a freak show of a mess from a leadership standpoint. And right now you have things kind of back in order, and guys ready to go make plays for Nebraska, and they've invested. They've done what they've been told. Here's where you want to go. Here's how you're going to get there. And it's going to come down to mental toughness. It's going to come down to dedication. It's going to come down to investment. And it's going to come down to you just putting in the time, putting in the burn. And either you're going to do that or you're not. And if you came in and no one was really pushing you, or you felt like by default, because I'm a four-star recruit, that I'm going to be there to see some time. And then, you know what, though? It's also maturity. And you have guys at different maturity levels that come into a football program. And there's two things that can happen. You got a program that's either going to make you grow up real quick and decide if you love this game or not, or you're going to have a program that's lets you going to just kind of hang around. And it is what it is, and you get the dessert without finishing your dinner, so to speak, i.e. playing time. That is gone. You want the brownie sundae, Danny? I know you're a brownie sundae guy. It's time to eat some of them vegetables, man. What vegetables do you hate? I don't think you're probably a... I don't know that you're an asparagus guy.
I actually like asparagus.
I do, too.
With my steak.
Okay.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, to be healthy. Now, here is Troy Walters. Let's get you a little audio. How did practice today work out for the offense? And I'll expand on as to why you got the answer you did, but here's Coach Walters.
Not up to our standard. You know, class starting, second day, we're not making excuses. It wasn't our standard. You know, we set the standard high, and the guys kind of came out, and we're kind of going through the motions today. So we let them know that, and we will watch the film, and we'll get better.
So, you've got a new situation. You have 3 days of class, and you have a morning practice session. And, man, it's getting down to it, right? It is, school has started, you have morning practices, you have meetings, you have study session. You're getting used to a new routine. Well, before that, you just had morning practice to worry about, or you had the summer, spring schedule going on. and guys, some were, some weren't ready to go, and that was expanded upon by Coach Walters.
I think class, you know, we're kind of at the end of fall camp, getting ready to start game plan in Akron. So you're kind of at the end of the fall camp mode, and guys just, we didn't show up ready to go. So that's a learning experience, and we'll learn from it, and we got to be a team that every time we step on that field, we're in championship standards. We've got to play at championship standards, and we didn't do that today.
So there was some irritation and frustration in the voice of Coach Walters and Brendan Hymus. You'll hear from him. The challenge issued to Hymus by Greg Austin, pretty impressive. We'll dive into a little further, and we'll get caught up with Derek Peterson of Hale Varsity and Parker Gabriel next hour as well. Donovan Williams, the newest basketball commit for Nebraska basketball, standout player for Lincoln North Star. He'll join us in about an hour, our conversation with him. So ballparking it right now, it's pretty thick with monotony right now. You're still practicing, you're still getting better, but you have new elements added in, i.e. school, that you got to deal with. Well, you have that scrimmage tomorrow, situational scrimmage, and then Coach Frost on Friday, maybe with a quarterback decision. We'll talk more quarterbacks. It's Hale Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Back to it, it's Hale Varsity Radio. Man, I get choked up when I think about Derek Peterson. That's awkward. He's going to hang up now. At Dr. Petey HV on Twitter. I need to get water and not run out of coffee in here or something. I lose my voice, it seems like, every Wednesday. Dr. Petey, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I was all set to just start chatting, and then furball. Danny's laughing at me. But Danny's wearing a shirt with no sleeves, so the joke is on him.
That's just not true. Don't believe him. Hey, all right, he's all dressed up today.
I'm not dressed up. Yeah, I found a clean shirt between gigs. All right, and one that doesn't knock me out. The Hale Varsity fan poll allows you to vote. Do so. Call your shot. Who starts at quarterback for Nebraska in the season opener against Akron on September 1st, Jebbia or Adrian Martinez? Do you think tomorrow's situational scrimmage, Derek, will kind of be the final decider?
I hope so. I mean, I think
you're wore out. Yeah. I'm wore out. Danny's switched jerseys a couple of times. I mean, we're ready for this thing, aren't we?
Yeah, I've come close to switching. I think I'm the closest I've ever been to switching over the last couple of months. I was confident in saying that it was going to be Adrian Martinez, but as this competition has gone on, that confidence has wavered a little bit. I think because of, you know, if Adrian's physical advantages were there and mentally they felt like he could do everything and he could run at the pace, we would have had an answer to this competition a couple weeks ago, I think. But as it has gone on, I think that has benefited Jebbia, because to me what that says is that Tristan can do all of the same things that Adrian can do in terms of, you know, being able to run the read option element of their offense and being able to and the coaching staff being confident in him as a dual threat quarterback. And if that's the case, I think he has to have the edge, because I think everybody is in agreement that he has the edge when it comes to the decision making piece of it and the speed at which he's playing the game piece of it. And part of that is just because, you know, he's been in college for a year longer. He got to see everything from the sideline last year, and he's got a little bit more quote unquote experience than Adrian has. I just think that I hope that Thursday's scrimmage, the situational scrimmage that they're putting him in, is going to be just that final data point that they need so that they can make a decision on Friday so that we can go through the next week, so we can go through the game prep week with one guy knowing he's going to be the starting quarterback. Because personally, I hate quarterback rotations. I hate two quarterback systems. I don't think they ever work. I think, you know, I've seen way too many seasons. We had a question about this in the mailbag, and this was essentially what I said. I've seen way too many seasons that either start out stuck in the mud or get derailed because there are two quarterbacks and one guy can't get in a rhythm, and both guys are looking over their shoulder and thinking that if I make one bad throw or if I miss one third down, I'm getting pulled and the next guy's coming in. I just don't think that's the way to go. So I hope that Thursday is the final data point that they need so that they can make a decision. It sounds like that's what Mario Verduzco wants. He doesn't want a two-quarterback system. He wants one guy, and whoever Frost thinks that guy is, they're going to roll with it. But I think everybody wants it to get decided Thursday and then Friday.
Derek, you wrote on Hill Varsity today about the Huskers not setting that championship standard at practice. Troy Walters was talking about it a lot. Did it seem like they were attributing that more toward just the fact that they're getting in the rhythm with school? Did it seem like, okay, it's going to be one of those, we'll give them this day kind of thing, and then they'll get back into it? Hopefully, you got to assume that's what they want, obviously. Or was it like, okay, this is a problem, we need to shape up here before game week?
I don't know that it's a problem. I don't know that it's anything people should be raising red flags or alarms or anything like that. I think probably more likely than not, that was motivational speak that we got from Troy Walters. I just got distracted. A Spider-Man poster just came across my Twitter timeline. I'm sorry. I think that was more Troy Walters trying to motivate the team. Now that classes have started, there's more distraction. I think that was his way of saying, look, we're a week and a half away from the season. The intensity that you guys are bringing at the start of fall camp, we need that to continue despite all the other stuff that is now picking up around you. We still need championship practices. We still need guys to be giving it their all every single play, every single time they step on the field. We still need that same energy from you throughout this last week, because I mean, they are getting close to the end of fall camp. They are getting close to the season and starting to prep for actually facing another team that isn't wearing Nebraska jerseys. And that in-between range can get a little, I mean, the intensity can dip a little bit. And I think that today was more just trying to publicly say, don't let that intensity dip.
And that's going to be a work in progress as culture implementation continues. You can talk about it. You can put it into action with weight training and conditioning and even stringing together some really good practices. But they are a far cry from where I think Frost wants them to be when you look back at his time at Nebraska and then even where they had the kids going at Central Florida. Now, they've made some amazing progress. I'm not knocking that. But they're still just, it's going to take some time. And you have this first year. I mean, you have some of the kids you brought in and recruited and mm-hmm. some of the kids that you inherited. And you have two kids you inherited, one retired, one you brought in, three kids now. And then one you inherited at middle linebacker decided to leave. A JUCO kid that you recruited, and he left, and Will Jackson and Avery Roberts asked for his scholarship release and has departed. Your thoughts on those two, and we'll get to Barnett here in a second, but those two guys on the defensive side of the ball, what's your reaction?
I feel bad about Jalen, but talking on the defensive side, I think the Avery Roberts move, I think that highlights the viewpoint of this staff as it relates to the inside linebacker position when they took over. Because how many guys have left that have been an inside linebacker? I mean, most of the attrition has come in that room, mm-hmm. and they've added in Will Honus, and they've got two guys in this upcoming class. I think Barrett Rood, I think all of the departures paint a pretty clear picture that Barrett Rood and the rest of the staff was not, I mean, they were not particularly thrilled with the way that position group looked, and they're trying to overhaul that as quickly as possible. I think that's maybe the main takeaway that you can take from that. I don't know much about the Will Jackson situation. I saw the report that he was unhappy with his spot on the depth chart. I didn't get that confirmed, But just in talking with Travis Fisher, it seemed like Will was slipping down the depth chart a little bit because of somebody like Cam Taylor, who maybe they weren't expecting to have as good of a fall camp as he has had. And when Will came in, you know, maybe there weren't promises made, but maybe there was an expectation that he had that there was going to be significant playing time waiting for him here. And then you get into fall camp and you've got a guy like Cam Taylor flying around making plays, and you've got a guy like Travis Fisher said Braxton Clark is towards the top of his room in terms of guys that have gotten hands-on balls throughout fall camp. I don't know that he's in line to start necessarily, but he's pushing for snaps. And you've got Ethan Cox, a walk-on from Blair, Nebraska, that's pushing for snaps. And you've got, you know, guys that have already been here. You've got Eric Lee and Tony Butler and Lamar Jackson and DiCaprio Boodle and guys that we figure are going to play a significant role in the defense. And it was one of those situations where before he even left, we talked about Will Jackson. We were like, where does he fit in? I mean, he gives them depth. He gives them a really long body and good physical tools. But where does he fit in if they've got all these other guys that are pushing to get on the field? So I think it's clarity to that secondary. I feel confident in saying that it's going to be Lamar Jackson and Cam Taylor as your two starting corners. And so that would leave guys like DiCaprio Boodle and maybe Ethan Cox to be your second unit. Hmm. And so maybe Will Jackson wasn't fitting into that. And so a move was what he felt was best for him.
Derek, we had Jerry DiNardo on the other day, and one of the conversations we were talking about is who's going to really separate themselves in the West. And Jerry said the team who's going to come out on top is going to most likely have to have a record in conference of 8-1. Schmitty and I were leaning more towards around 7-2, maybe even 6-3 could get it done, depending on how rigorous their schedules are and what it comes down to. What are your thoughts on that? What do you think it's going to take to come out on top of the West?
You have to beat Wisconsin, obviously. So I would say 8-1 is probably what gets it done, because I don't know that Wisconsin loses more than one or two games this year. I think the thing with Wisconsin this year, this is totally ignoring all of the offensive distractions off the field that they're dealing with right now, and that's maybe not smart, but the thing with Wisconsin is I feel like there's always been that element of we don't have a lot of national respect, so we're out here to prove some people wrong, and there's been a chip on the shoulder. I mean, they were ranked fourth in the preseason poll. I mean, that's about as high as you can possibly get. There's plenty of respect for Wisconsin right now, and they've got to start backing up some of that we're disrespected talk, because now they've got it. Now they've got to prove that they deserve it. And I think Wisconsin, given the offensive line and Jim Leonard on defense and Jonathan Taylor tailback, I think they've got enough talent to really be really good. So I would say that you probably got to beat Wisconsin, and you probably got to go 8-1 to win the West. And maybe Northwestern has that in them this year. I don't know that Iowa does. I would put Northwestern as maybe my dark horse to win the West. I don't think Nebraska is going to win it. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid right now. I don't think they're going to win the West in year one, but I think either Northwestern or Wisconsin might be what you're looking at.
Derek Peterson's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Dr. PDHV on Twitter. Derek, about 20 seconds here. What's coming up from you on Hail Varsity, bud?
I'm working on an offensive line story. Talking to Brennan Hymus today about just that group and how they've gelled, and he said one of the biggest changes from last year to this year is that group is just more comfortable with each other. They like each other more, which is always good. They're hanging out. They feel like a more cohesive unit. So that's what I'm working on.
Derek, we'll get caught up soon, my man. Thanks for the time. Great stuff as always, bud.
Thanks, buddy.
I'll keep the KD gifts coming your way, my friend. Good stuff from Derek Peterson. We'll talk a little golf. News on Phil and Tiger. Pay-per-view. I want to see Shuey playing that thing, too. Mike Shuhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf, coming up. Parker Gabriel next hour with Hail Varsity.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Oh, it is that time. It is the Wilderness Ridge Golf segment. Mike Shuhart, WildernessRidgeGolf.com. Get a tee time. Listen, man, you got one weekend left with no football, which means you can get 27 in Saturday and Sunday. Can't guarantee that you can get the time slot you want unless you get off your can right now and make the call. to get there and get that tee time rolling. And then you got a 7 o'clock kick against Akron. I mean, pretend the guy you're playing's the Zips and Terry Bowden, right? And just take it out on him. Shuey, you don't have any eye black on, but I'm going to give you a week as you'll get ready for football season. How are you, man?
I'm doing great.
Good to see you.
I'm getting excited, man. 1 week.
It is 1 week.
I can't wait.
You've been catching Big Red football most of your life.
Oh, yeah. This is kind of this is a pretty exciting Saturday coming up.
Just a little bit?
Just a little bit.
Well, tell me what you've been up to, man. I can get that tee time scheduled, wildernessridgegolf.com, 402-434-5106, the number.
Yeah, just giving lessons, working away.
Making people better.
Trying to.
Yeah, well,
some,
that's good.
Some better. Some go, huh. I said, it takes a little time.
It is.
It's a process.
It's not immediate.
No.
But you can get locked in. Okay, I sent you something, and you saw it also on social media. The word is out on Tiger and Phil and pay-per-view.
Wow.
That this thing is going to be a thing. I don't have the story open, but sources, a winner-take-all match showdown, Tiger and Phil. It'll be pay-per-view through DirecTV. What do you say about this?
Wow. It's like, wow. It's like, I don't know. I've never even heard of that for golf.
No.
I didn't think about it, but it makes a lot of sense.
Some of us still want money back from the Tyson era.
Exactly.
When it comes to pay-per-view.
Exactly. That's the first, probably, in the golf world.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the biggest name golfers out there. And it's like, makes a lot of sense. You, people want to watch that match, you're going to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Should be pretty interesting.
What do you think the numbers, is it going to be $10
million? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Would it go higher than that?
Probably not.
Okay.
Not yet, anyway.
All right.
We'll see how it goes.
So, where at?
Where at?
As in, where will they schedule this thing?
It's in Vegas.
Oh, it will be Vegas. That's right. We talked about it being in Vegas.
Yeah.
My fault.
I don't know where I can't remember what course, but.
Okay.
It is in Vegas over Thanksgiving.
That's phenomenal.
We're going, right?
Sure. I've never been.
Let's go, baby.
There you go.
Danny, you've helped pay for the strip a few times.
Just the once, but.
Yeah.
Shuey, have you been?
Been to Vegas?
Yeah.
Oh, no, never. Ooh. Yeah, right. No, many times.
We got to show Schmitty around then.
Well, and Phil likes Vegas.
Phil likes Vegas quite a bit. So, you know, it'll be interesting.
Vegas likes Phil.
Oh, are they going to sell tickets for it?
That's what I'm wondering here. Lay this out. Should we put on your golf professional hat from an event coordinating standpoint? How would you do this thing?
I never even thought about the pay-per-view thing. I think that's...
It's going to be pay-per-view.
Fascinating idea.
It is. Through DirecTV.
Then how many tickets you're going to sell? You only got two people out there. I mean, you can only have so many people around a hole. I mean, it's going to get a little crazy.
Yeah, but... It's still Vegas, and it's over Thanksgiving.
And people are going to, they'll pay for
it. They'll go see it.
Yeah, they will. So that's the part of it. That's what I would do. I mean, it's like, what do you sell a ticket for?
Well, it'll vary on 9 and on 18, obviously.
Yeah.
And then the first tee box. But your signature hole, the toughest hole.
Is it match play? Is it metal play?
I think you do match, don't you?
No, because if it's match play, what happens if somebody gets on a roll and they beat them 7 and 6? Then it's over. No, you got to make them go all 18 holes.
Okay.
So it's got to be metal play.
Okay.
It's got to be metal play because you got to have them play the whole time, every hole. And then you make them pay for each hole.
That'd
what
be
hole
nice.
Do you want?
Okay, so like you draft a hole and you put in the mount.
You put a mount on the hole. You want to watch 17? You want to watch 6? You want to watch 5? You want tickets for 18, mm-hmm. You want tickets for, they have to.
Okay. Could you put a different amount equaling $10 million on, say, number 8's the toughest, or 18's the mother? Could you put $2 million on one hole?
18 would be obviously the
big dog.
Yeah, you'd have to, because if it's coming down to the last hole and whoever wins the last hole.
What are some of the prospects like in Vegas? I mean, tell me about the course options.
Well, I think they'll play at, it's Wynn's course.
Okay.
Shadow Creek,
okay.
I think is what it's called. I would think that would be a prime option.
Played that one before?
I have not. That's hard to get on.
Well, but you're shooey.
Nah, I don't gamble quite at that high enough stakes to get on that course.
Danny, have you been?
No, not yet.
Okay.
That's the goal.
That's the goal. Be able to win and lose enough to Mr. Wynn to, hey, here's a free card. Shoey, Tiger made some interesting comments. I was reading on ESPN.com about the Masters in 2017.
Yeah, interesting.
I'm done. 6 months, couldn't even swing a club. Doubt, back fusion. We've hit all of that. But he conveyed to some peers that, look, man, I'm out. I'm never coming back. I mean, that had to be extremely scary.
No question.
And you've had back issues yourself.
Yeah.
And what's that? If it's not too personal, what's that like to go through?
It's not fun.
Right.
You know, because you have a love for something you do. Mm-hmm. You have a passion for it. Your mind says one thing, but your body does another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you get out there and you try to do what your mind's telling you and what you're used to and what you have done, and your body just won't let you do it. So it becomes a very frustrating exercise in futility, mm-hmm. which you know, you get a little depressed, you get a little lack of confidence, and then it's like, what the heck? What am I going to do now? You know? And then,
how do you channel the anger, depression, frustration? Because it seems like that's one thing that Tiger's never had to really do. I mean, his standard is nuts. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And then to get knocked down to like ground zero and build back up is impressive.
Incredible. It's pretty interesting to listen to him talk now, because he's a little more candid, a little more open about
kind of
where he
now.
Was at. Exactly. And then he's talking about not even being able to get up out of bed to go to the bathroom. You know, he's like, it was just brutal. So I think Tiger, being the competitor that he is, and he was, even though he said that he was done, you know, I think he turned it around and said, you know what, I'm going to figure out how to come back somewhat. Maybe not to the level he was. I don't think he ever thought he'd get to that level, but he was going to play golf again, and he was going to play it at a decent level that he's basically would be accepted for him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was his motivating factors. Instead of just giving it up and quitting and not doing anything, I think he said, you know, I'm going to beat this.
And he came back to two runner-up finishes, five
incredible
top tens. A great event coming up with Wilderness Ridge we're going to tell you about here on Hail Varsity.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Mike Shewhart is in Wilderness Ridge Golf segment. Parker Gabriel's 10 minutes away. Lincoln Journal star, some Husker football thoughts. Donovan Williams, newest member for Nebraska basketball, as he committed to Tim Miles. Donovan with us around 5:25 or so. Reminder to you, and we'll talk with Chris Thompson next week at Wilderness Ridge, but the Patriot Golf Day Marathon, what's going on? Raising money for the Folds of Honor Foundation, which supports families of fallen or disabled soldiers through educational scholarships. Please log on and find out more. FoldsofHonor.org. And I'll be playing a golf marathon Monday, September 17th. Can play as many holes as you can get through. That is awesome.
Yeah, it's a really cool event. You know, Folds of Honor is a great organization. Mm-hmm. It does incredible things, you know, for soldiers, fallen soldiers, mm-hmm. disabled soldiers, scholarships that they do for families of our soldiers out there. So it's an amazing organization. Yeah, and Chris is going to go try to play. His goal is 100 holes.
Yeah, yeah, I was getting there.
That's a lot of holes.
He's going to try,
day.
And what you can do, too, is you can put a pledge in per hole.
Yeah.
To help these families and help foldsofhonor.org. That is incredible. We're excited to have him And I'm so excited for this. Grandpa Schmidt was in World War II.
Nice.
Served. Is no longer with us, but still see the flag that he got awarded to him, his Purple Heart. I mean, that stuff's...
Yeah, I've been really fortunate to be at different events mm-hmm. with the Fold of Honors and listen to the people talk. And it's heart-wrenching at times,
mm-hmm,
but,
sure.
but it's really cool what they do for their families.
Well, that'll be good stuff. Foldsofhonor.org is what's going on, and Patriot Golf Day Marathon. Shuey, you've been around pro golf for a long time. You've been around college programs for a long time, and the waiting game has continued in Columbus, Ohio State. Yeah. What's your make and take on this waiting game? You don't have an answer. People have talked. The investigations concluded, and there's still no white smoke.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, you know. It's, in my opinion, somebody's got to be a fall guy for this.
Right, yes.
You know, where either from Urban or higher up. You know, because something happened along the way that all the stuff that's coming out, mm-hmm. it's hard to believe all that stuff that's coming out with what he was doing mm-hmm. and that somebody didn't take action on that before that. So who dropped the ball?
Urban's saying, look, man, I reported everything. Gene Smith, I'm the AD. But it would be real easy because it's easier to find ADs than it is coaches that win
yeah.
more games than they lose in the Big Ten and have lost a whopping 3 or 4 games in the Big Ten during their 6 years in the Big Ten.
Exactly. A lot more people know Urban Meyer's name than Mr. Smith's name.
No, and Gene Smith had great programs at Ohio State, but
yeah,
it's Gene's still...
Hard to get rid of Urban Meyer, man.
No, it is. But Gene's still around. Good for him.
Yeah.
Lasting. But yeah, this is a train wreck.
It is. It's going to be very intriguing to see what all comes down from it. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. So. Hang out if you like. Mike Shuhart's here. Wilderness Ridge Golf. Parker Gabriel to kick off Hour 2 with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you back. Hour 2, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke. Mike Shuhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf, still sitting in studio. We welcome in with the Lincoln Journal star, Parker Gabriel. Parker, what are you doing, man? How are you?
I'm good, Schmidt. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Danny, what are we doing? Our guests are getting blown out with music beds. Do we have all the things pushed? Parker, I can see your ears bleeding right now. Is that accurate?
Yeah, just a little bit, but I got it cleaned up some radio.
Yeah, I think we got it under control. It might have been something from the previous producer. I'm not taking blame.
No, that's no. Oh, so
no, I should have switched.
So
it.
Gene
I think
Smith
I got it.
Gene Smith did
exactly.
It.
I'm
okay.
Pulling the old Urban.
Okay. So what is Ohio State and the Board of Trustees and Urban and Urban's wife? What are they all doing right now, Parker? And if you're gonna guess what's going on right now in that conference room.
If I had to guess, I would say the Ohio State president is saying, Urban, you're going to be suspended. And Urban is saying, no, I'm not. And people are just waiting for the president to back down.
Okay. So there's no steel cage death match reenactment. It's just they're just arguing right now.
It's just the political capital version of that. And I would be surprised if anything happened except for Urban Meyer prevailing.
So Urban's argument is, look how much money I brought in last year. What did you do in fundraising?
Yeah, basically. And his other argument, which is maybe backed by that, is I didn't do anything wrong. That's what is being reported, that he's taking the stance that he's done nothing wrong in the situation and therefore he shouldn't be suspended at all.
That is his stance. There's just certain things you can order and you shouldn't order while at work.
Right. Yep.
And we'll just leave it at that. So, I don't know, man. That was hilarious. Parker Gabriel's with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. We'll get to some Husker football at Husker Extra PG on Twitter. It's where you follow Parker. Okay, what's your math say right now for the Husker quarterback spot? Where are you leaning? Do you have an answer? Where are you going with this scrimmage tomorrow, with this situational scrimmage tomorrow morning?
Yeah, I think it's really hard to say. I mean, I feel less sure about it than ever, really. I mean, partially because you would have thought – I didn't know exactly what was going to happen today with Troy Walters and Mario Verduzco. I didn't think that we were going to get an answer per se, but at the same time – it's obviously really close between Adrian Martinez and Tristan Jebbia. And so my question is, like, a situational scrimmage on the last Thursday of camp before game prep starts, is that really, like, this is what they're going to use to determine the job? Maybe, maybe not. It seems to me like maybe they're waiting to have the discussion until the very end because they don't want the decision to be made because they don't want it to get out. And that's not to say that they know for sure 100% what's going to happen. But I have a hard time with the idea that after 8 months and all of this stuff happening and these guys working on this for so long, that the starting job's going to come down to who does better in a red zone drill on the last Thursday of camp. So I think that all of the players involved probably have their idea of how it's going to go. By players, I mean Scott Frost, Troy Walters, Mario Verduzco, and then the decision I would guess it would be made tomorrow night or Friday morning.
And Parker, do you think they're going to orient this scrimmage just so they know for sure? If it's, let's say it's going neck and neck for most of the scrimmage, do you think that they want to 100% come down to a conclusion, one guy over the other, or if it's still going to be coming out of the wire, they might go, hey, let's just try them both in some kind of rotation?
Yeah, I think, you know, Mario Verduzco said today that they had not had any discussions about a two-quarterback system. That doesn't mean that they can't. I mean, what Mario Verduzco has said from the start is that at some point Scott Frost will come to him and say it's time to have the discussion about what we're doing at quarterback. So when that happens, probably, you know, tomorrow after practice or whatever, it could well be let's find a way to get both involved. But I really have a hard time believing that it's going to be, you know, a drive-by-drive thing or what you would think of as your typical classic two-quarterback system. But, I mean, who knows? Really, it could go either way, or it could be some combination of both at this point.
I think the thing that is hard to get your arms around, and this isn't fair to him, but I think what ruled out Jebbia for so many is the run game aspect of things. And the answer's kind of been staring at me all along when you look at the 8 to 12 carries. Coach Frost has said it numerous times that there wants to be the threat of the run game. But in Nebraska, you're used to your quarterback carrying the football, and that's their main asset, like historically speaking, is the ability to run, run the option, run the zone read, hit a big play, and just don't be awful throwing the football. Well, it's kind of been flipped on its head with, as Coach DiNardo was telling us, pass the football, be good at it, get it out, but just be dangerous enough to make a play if things break down or if there's a designed run. Is that fair to say when you look at just the optics of this thing where so many of us were looking at Adrian Martinez and going, wow, after the spring game. And it was fair to say wow after the spring game.
Oh, yeah, it definitely was. I mean, he showed that sort of electric skill set in the spring game. And based on the people talked to over the course of camp, he's shown it, too, in scrimmage situations, especially, I think, the most recent one last Friday. The thing is, though, about the I think you're on the right track with the run game. I mean, it's the threat, right? You got to be dangerous in the run game. Of course, all things being equal, you want the guy who can rip off a 70-yarder and take it to the house. But more importantly than that happening a couple times in a season, is being able to get the ball to Stanley Morgan 65 times in a season and being able to get the ball to J.D. Spielman 60 times in a season and not turning the ball over. And so if the difference in the rest of it outside of the running game tilts heavily enough towards Jebbia, that you can make, I think you can make up the running piece of it. I don't want to say easily, but you definitely can, because if now it'd be a different story too if it was Illinois and we were talking about it, you have Mikey Dudek and no other skill talent, right? Mm-hmm. But their talent in the skill position, wide receiver, tight end, running back, is such that they don't necessarily need their quarterback to be a game breaker, but they do need him to be an efficient facilitator. Obviously, you want to have both, but the facilitator is probably more important because they've got the horses outside to be good offensively, regardless of if you get decent running quarterback play or good quarterback running play.
Well, and think about that too. I mean, for the longest time, it's been get a home run threat, gash somebody defensively. And I go back to Taylor Martinez. I go back to some of the big games Tommy Armstrong has had, right? I mean, and it's been big plays, and it's been big plays. The higher percentage of success has been with their legs, and they've kind of sprinkled in some tasties, so to speak, with what they did with their arm off of play action. But they were never really pass first guys. So that'll be a nice weapon for Nebraska moving forward, that style of quarterback. And both these guys are really talented, and it'll keep each other on their toes. Parker Gabriel's with us a few more minutes here on Hail Varsity Radio. Okay, secondary, give me a number out of 10 concern level. Are you at more of an ease about the secondary? And when I mean secondary, I think there's 1,000 safeties that are pretty talented, so let's talk corners. Right. I'll be more specific. But where are you at with that corner spot? Do you think Nebraska's okay? Do you think they still have question marks, or do you think they'll surprise us?
I think they still have question marks. I would say not at ease, but not terrible either. Maybe somewhere in a 6, maybe pushing towards 7 on a concern scale. But it's not so much like I believe Travis Fisher when he says that they've bought into what he is teaching and that they're capable of making progress. Just we haven't seen it, right? And you know, you're banking on a lot of things. I've made this reference before, but you know, like I follow small market baseball, and sometimes you go into a season and you're like, if we get good jumps in performance from 8 guys in the lineup, we'll be really good. And you can expect to get jumps from some guys, but probably not hit 100% of that, right? So when you're talking about, hey, they'll be fine if Lamar Jackson takes a big jump and Cam Taylor's ready to play as a true freshman and Braxton Clark's ready to play as a true freshman and Eric Lee's better and DiCaprio Boodle's more physical. Like, three of those things could well be true, but I don't know that you can just say, I don't have any concern because all those things will happen probably over the course of 12 games. So I think there's still some concern level, but I also think they have better options and more upside than they had last year.
Parker, on Twitter, you were getting into Roberts, Will Jackson, and Jalen Barnett leaving and how all their scholarships still count until January and that the Huskers would still have room, however, to convert a couple of walk-ons. Do you envision the Huskers bringing on any walk-ons and or have heard anything, any murmurs about any walk-ons standing out?
Well, there's been walk-ons that have stood out. I mean, Andrew Bunch is a natural one. Obviously, he's going to be their number 3 quarterback. Moses Bryant has been good. I think you'll see some freshman walk-ons, you know, playing on special teams. To what extent, I don't really know. But Scott Frost has made it pretty clear that in order for a walk-on to earn a scholarship, he's going to have to be on the field regularly and be contributing in a variety of ways. I think your best bet, if you're talking about that, and we'll see where the number shakes out exactly. It's going to depend. There's a couple things that are still in the air. But they have at least 2 that they could give out. I don't know whether they will or not. But I think if you were looking for candidates, you would probably start along the lines of guys that could be special teams players and that are older guys, maybe in the wide receiver room, Connor Young, Brian Reimers, guys like that, I would think would be the best candidates. But we've not heard anything definitive, and Frost has made it pretty clear that they're not just going to give those out just to give them out.
Parker, a thought here on Avery Roberts, and Coach Rude was pretty blunt and very fair with the expectation. It matches Frost and culture and the standard they're going after that they weren't happy with today. With Avery Roberts, just too high a mountain to climb here. Let's go find another scene. Or was it just something he wasn't into? I mean, what's your read on his decision to leave? Because the stars were the stars, and the talent level, and then the folks recruiting him were pretty pretty high profile programs.
Yeah, right. I mean, he had a lot of options, and it just didn't work out. I mean, I think you're learning the priorities of what it takes to play linebacker for Barrett Rudy. You just have to be able to move laterally. You've got to be physical, of course, and willing to take on blockers, but you have to be able to have the movement skills, as Barrett Rudy says, and there's a lot that goes into that. And, you know, the writing, I think Avery Roberts, it seems he stuck around for the summer even after – you know, Rude was really blunt with him. It seemed like he wanted to try to give it a go and get into the kind of shape and be the kind of player they wanted him to be. And when Nebraska moved Colin Miller inside at the beginning of camp or at the end of the summer, whatever exactly that was, he pretty much immediately supplanted Avery Roberts on the depth chart and became the number four guy in that inside linebacker's room, and probably is going to play quite a bit this fall. And when that happens, the writing, I think, was kind of on the wall for Avery Roberts that he was a long way from having a role in this defense this year.
No, absolutely. Parker, about 90 seconds here. How are you feeling about Wisconsin? I know you know the program well. The expectation level's never really been higher, to my memory.
Right, yeah.
Are they going to do all right with that bullseye? I know they replace a lot. I know they've had some suspensions, but they also have some brutal crossovers. Can the Badgers be back in Indy? Do you think they can weather this expectation load on their shoulders?
Yeah, I think they handle expectations pretty well. But the same point I made about the baseball team with you got to have this many guys make jumps, I think they're in that position a little bit defensively. Their deepest group was wide receiver, and now Quintez Cephas suspended indefinitely. Danny Davis suspended today for two games in the same incident as Quintez Cephas. And so they can win two non-conference games without those guys. But if those problems linger, if they don't get a lot of development on defense pretty quickly, I don't know. Are they the fourth best team in the country? I would I would hesitate to say that. But I do think they still have a chance to win the Big Ten.
What number gets it 30 seconds in the West? Do you think 8-1 captures the West division, 7-2, 6-3? Do you have a thought?
I think 7-2 probably gets it done. I just think that middle with Iowa, Northwestern, and then Purdue, Nebraska, I think it's going to be pretty muddled.
Yeah.
There could be some beating each other up there. So I think 7-2 would get it done.
All right. Parker, have a great rest of the week, man. Appreciate you. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, guys.
Take care. Parker Gabriel with us, Hail Varsity Radio at Husker Extra PG. Parker Gabriel on Twitter's where you can find him. Good stuff from him. Donovan Williams, our conversation with the North Star standout and part of the 2020 class for Nebraska basketball coming up here in a moment. Want to remind you about your friends at Sauter Heyman. How about Rick? How about what Rick's got? That's Pure Grown Diamonds, Nebraska's exclusive dealer of Pure Grown Diamonds, Sauter Heyman, 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion, both in Lincoln, around West and Grand Island. SauterHeyman.com is where you log on. Pure Grown Diamonds are real diamonds grown in a lab, and they're 10 to 40% less than earth mined diamonds. That's incredible. They're 100% sustainable. They're eco-friendly. My wife turns 40 on Saturday. I'm going to go see Rick. I'm going to go get a pure-grown diamond. So I see another 40 and help celebrate that. SauterHeyman.com. Back with more on Hail Varsity after this.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Getting caught up with Donovan Williams a few minutes here on Hail Varsity Radio. Donovan, thanks for a few minutes. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. Congrats on your commitment to Nebraska. Tim Miles did what when you told him?
Man, he just
kind of yelled for a little bit, and he was just filled with excitement, and put a smile on my face for sure.
High pitch, low pitch, or just something you've never heard before?
Something I never heard from him, but it was real nice to hear the excitement that he had and just believing in me.
Take me through your process. I know you visited Nebraska end of June, and they offered you middle part of July. How did you sift through this decision-making process and then finally decide? How did you go about it?
I was really just waiting for a school to believe in me and trust me that I would come in and make a difference in their basketball program. And Nebraska was the biggest standout to me of that. And they showed loyalty and they showed love towards me every day in and out. And they made me their main priority from the beginning. And nobody else really did that for me. And since they did that and they were one of the first schools in on me, it just felt right. And it just felt that it was right for me to commit.
Donovan Williams, standout with Lincoln North Star with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Tell me about the culture. What do you like so much about Nebraska basketball?
To start off, I mean, it's at the highest level, you know. They play in the Big Ten. Almost all their games are on national television, so you can't really beat that. And they bring in great players that have a chance to go to the NBA, and that's real big for me is the players that they've had before, and I'm trying to be in the same position that they were in.
When you look at your skill set, and I've had a chance to call a few of your games, and I know how good you are at the rim. I know your explosiveness. I also know your three-point range. And
yeah.
What jumps do you want to make, do you need to make, before getting to Nebraska? As far as working on your game, what are you focused on?
Really everything right now. You know, just playing as hard as I can every second of the game. That's something that every player needs, is just playing hard the whole game. Obviously dribbling, the small things, dribbling, shooting, passing. The defensive end is a big thing for me this year. I'm going to be working out a lot harder on the defensive end. You know, rebounding is a big key of mine. And just playing as hard as I can and being mature on the court.
Donovan Williams with us, Hail Varsity Radio. You mentioned the defensive side of the ball, the wingspan you have and the quickness you have. What type of defender are you looking to be?
This year I'll be guarding the best players on every single team and doing my best to stop them, you know. I'll be blocking a lot of shots, getting a lot of steals, getting my hands on a lot of basketballs. I'll just be all over the court this year.
What's your reaction when you hear that you're the first Lincoln kid to get an offer and accept since Jake Muehlheisen, the old mule?
I mean, you know, it's really crazy to hear because I didn't really know that. I didn't know it's been that long since somebody's been from Lincoln and went to Nebraska in like 20 years. I didn't know that until yesterday. So, you know, that really stood out to me, and it kind of puts a little chip on my shoulder, and, you know, I'm ready for it. I work every day for it, so when that time comes to be ready, I'll be ready.
Tell me about your summer. How was AAU? Where did you grow, and how did the team do?
The summer went very good. You know, I was part of the new team with the Iowa Barnstormers, some great players, and now brothers of mine. We had a really good summer. We qualified for the Adidas National for the championships and for Adidas. I think we won like 21-7 over the whole summer, and you know, I obviously gained a lot of interest, picked up 6 offers, so I kind of blew up a little late because I had a little had a slow start in April, so May and July was really big for me and kind of took off from there.
Donovan Williams with us on Hail Varsity Radio. And you have region teams that have been good about getting Nebraska kids, Wisconsin, Creighton, Iowa, Nebraska, able to get an in-state kid. There's other talent in-state that you've played with and you play against. What type of recruiter do you want to be for Coach Miles?
I want to be the best one. You know, I want to. I've already started my recruiting process already with other players around the state because I know that there's a lot of talent in-state that if we can get them here, then we have a chance of being a really, really good team in a few years. So it's almost a job of mine now. I see it as a job because since I'm already committed, I feel like there's more to do, and there's a lot more to do on the other side of basketball, which is recruiting players to come here, such as Akal and Chucky. So I'm going to do my best to make sure those guys come here.
You mentioned Akal and Chucky, both big-time prospects as well. Have they reached out to you?
Yeah, you know, it's been all congrats. You know, they've just been telling me congratulations on the commit and on the commitment, and then, it's just been great. You know, they're real supportive of me. I talk to them every once in a while, close friends of mine. So I think I can get him here.
Donovan Williams with us, Hail Varsity Radio, standout for Lincoln North Star, going to be part of the 2020 class in Lincoln, and the first Lincoln player to find his way to Nebraska since Jake Milhuizen. Last thought here, kind of lay out the expectation for North Star here this season. What's coming back? What's Coach Q got loaded up for the Swamp?
You know, I'm super excited for the high school season this year. You know, we got a lot of talent. We have a lot of young guys who are coming in who are going to have big roles for us this year, just like I had last year. So, you know, we're everything's expected out of me, though. You know, I'm ready to put on the show and go as far as I can, which is the main goal is to make the state. And I'm for sure that we have a capable team to do that. You know, we bring back a few good players that contributed last year, and we bring back Josiah Alec, who will be a big part of our team this year, 6'6", post. You know, we bring back some young guys who will help us a lot this year, which is big. And obviously, we bring back me. So, I have high expectations this year. So, I'm looking forward to getting to state this year, and I think we can do it.
What are your thoughts? I mean, North Stars had talent, and East has been good. Other schools around Lincoln have been tremendous. And then you guys get to play a good schedule of Metro teams. Can you speak to the level of talent that you've been able to compete against in Lincoln?
You know, the level of talent is real tough, you know, especially playing against experienced players across the state. You know, there's some really good talented players and some physically gifted players that are really good on defense and just make it hard for me to do what I want to do. So it'll be tough this year. There's a lot of talent in Omaha, you know, in the Metro. So those will be some tough teams to go against this year. But I think we're up for the challenge.
You mentioned it's tough. Has it been a good tough as far as what have you had to tweak with your game?
You know, I've had to become a lot better passer because being focused on so much has been new to me since high school. So becoming a lot better passer, just a better teammate, and just doing the little things that aren't scoring to control the game, just controlling the game by myself, you know, rebounding, getting steals, just talking a lot on defense and offense, you know, the little things that can contribute to winning the game.
Was that tough to kind of let go of some of that and put trust out there? Was that, I mean, because you're averaging almost 19 a game last year.
Yeah, it was pretty tough. You know, coming eighth grade year, we had three of the best players in the state on one middle school team. So jumping from us, all three of us separating, you know, it's pretty tough from doing that and going to high school and having to play against basically grown men that are just physically tougher than you at that point and kind of adapting to the style of play. You know, it's pretty tough, but I got a hold of it pretty quick.
Tell me about this middle school team.
I went to Skull Middle School, and it was me, Tavion Blueford, and Luke Jurassic, and we all kind of went our own ways. Luke Jurassic is still at North Star, but we didn't lose a game here, seventh and eighth grade year when I first moved here, so us separating, it was kind of a big jump.
Yeah, I bet, but I imagine you guys pretty much ruled the court, it sounds like, if you went unbeaten in junior high. That was nice.
Yeah, we didn't lose the game in 2 years.
Donovan Williams, headed to Nebraska, and North Star standout. Donovan, best to you. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, hey, no problem. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Donovan Williams, good to get caught up with him. Big get for Nebraska. First get for Nebraska from Lincoln since Jake Milhuizen, one of our just most impressive contributors with Nebraska basketball. Mule. That's awesome. Good stuff. I like watching Donovan do his thing at North Star, too. That was a really good game to call a year ago, him and North Star against East, where Donovan was lights out, man. And just a freshman, now a sophomore, so good enough. What are you telling me and seeing on Twitter?
Disregard it.
Okay.
It was one of those parody account kind of things, and I quickly reacted to it. because someone in one of our group chats said something. So I just immediately turned to you and said something about it. It was involving Urban, but we're not going to believe it at this point.
Pellini has weighed in.
Has he? What did he say?
He's telling Urban on social media that they can't legally keep you there against your will. I was waiting for a dot, 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 unlike your assistant coaches. That wasn't legal. So, yeah, that's kind of where we're at. Okay, let's get a couple of thoughts from Hymus here at left tackle for Nebraska. And I really like what Coach Austin has done to challenge Hymus. And it goes back to that whole standard here. And with Hymus, he was very matter-of-fact today. I wouldn't say down, but like just bummed out, disappointed. You could see body language-wise, he wasn't down with how they performed today. And Hymus spent a few minutes talking about his expectation and kind of the expectation Coach Austin has of him at that left tackle spot.
I'm just, you know, expecting more out of myself this year. You know, I'm not that small little freshman anymore. You know, I'm past that. I have game experience, so there should be no excuses this year.
Okay, so the gist of it is, listen, it doesn't matter that you're 19. Doesn't matter that you're 292. You're the left tackle, and that was communicated, and Coach Austin spent some time on that today about what the left tackle needs to be for Nebraska. The history you got to live up to with the offensive line. And it, while the rest of the world might be like, yeah, he's just a freshman or just a sophomore. No, it's bigger than that. You're the left tackle at Nebraska. You kind of set the tone, and you need to. And yeah, this kind of brutal truth right now with the Nebraska offense. It wasn't good enough today. Situational scrimmage tomorrow. We'll spend some more time on the Big Red at Hale Varsity as we continue on a Wednesday presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hale Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back with you, it's Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Time for a Jock Doc Wednesday, Lincoln Orthopedic Center. Dr. Doug Tavis. Dr. Doug, how are you, sir?
I'm a little warm today, Chris, but kind of like the weather the last couple of days.
You know, it's been good. It's been very, very pleasant as it gets a bit cooler. It's not August-like. It'll get back to being August, but those boys of fall, and you look at you, Darvish, out for the year, the rest of the year. A stress reaction in the elbow. Let's go into this a little bit. I know he's missed time this season, and now he's going to miss the rest of the year. An MRI showing that that elbow, that tricep strain. Kind of explain what's been going on with Darvish and his outlook.
Yeah, so he's got a MRI finding now of what we would call bone marrow edema. In the bone that is kind of that bone in the back of your elbow that you feel move when you're flexing, extending your elbow. And we call that the olecranon. That bone, when we throw a pitch, there's a hyperextension of the elbow. So it snaps out into full extension. And when it does that, that bone can pinch against the upper arm bone. And so if it does that too often and too repetitively, then basically what happens is you get what's like a stress fracture in that bone. They termed it a stress reaction, which means that they did not see a fracture line. But it's like having a bleeding inside of the bone or a bad bone bruise. And so it becomes very painful. So every time he tries to throw the pitch, you know, he ends up feeling that pain, which is what happened when he tried to do his rehab start here a couple of days ago.
Yeah, I mean, he was on the hill on Sunday and had to leave because of that increased pain. When we talk about trying to pitch through some arm issues, and you have some guys on the mound that push it too much, too hard, and they do worse damage, you look at Darvish, and he realized that he wasn't right. What are some of the steps moving forward with Darvish and the Cubs?
Yeah, so for this one, it sounds like it's just going to be purely rest. There are a number of different patterns of this or grades of severity of this, even to a point where surgery is necessary in order to fix a development of a fracture as this goes along. In real young individuals where the growth plate is still open, this will cause that growth plate to separate. Mm-hmm. And I've had to do surgery multiple times on kids in that situation where the growth plate separates out, the triceps tendon, which pulls on that piece of bone, pulls it apart, and then you have to fix it. As we get older, we tend to develop this stress reaction ahead of time. And in a scenario where you pick up on it, you can just treat it with rest, hopefully not ever having to go on to a surgical intervention. So that's where he's sitting at this point. And that's when you got the kind of, what do they got, $126 million investment in this guy, I think they're going to probably give him the time to get over it and not have to do anything surgical.
Yeah, they have quite a bit. It's a big piggy bank with you, Darvish. Dr. Doug Davis with us, a Jock Doc Wednesday, Lincoln Orthopedic Center. We're talking you, Darvish. So he's 32. I look at you's age and the mileage on him, and long term with him, okay, they're using rest right now. What's the likelihood of this flaring up again? And is it then going to be treated maybe another time with more rest? Or then do you think about a surgical intervention, or does it depend on the grade, as you were talking about earlier?
Yeah, so what's interesting here is that they made a distinction in the report of the MRI that he did not have any damage to his collateral ligament, his Tommy John ligament. And the reason that that's important is that about of the surgical ones of these, the ones that go on to require surgery, there's somewhere greater than 70% of those end up also having ulnar collateral ligament problems. And so with the fact that his MRI does not show any ulnar collateral ligament damage, the prognosis really is pretty good for him. The frustrating part for him at this point is that, he's early in the season, they were thinking, okay, the triceps tendon itself was the source of the pain. Rest. And then you go back and you throw again, and here's the pain coming back. And in reality, this bone problem was coming on the whole time. So I think really, he's had a frustrating year this year, but I think he's got a really good prognosis long term and should be able to get back and really not have those kinds of issues with his elbow.
Dr. Doug Davis with us, Lincoln Orthopedic Center at Jock Doc Wednesday. We're talking you, Darvish, and his elbow. So is there a way to strengthen this part of the arm and body for Darvish moving forward? Is there some work he can do to make sure, all right, this doesn't happen again?
Yeah, it might have more to do with changing, or really being focused on his mechanics, because if he's got normal ligaments around it, the muscles themselves certainly do protect joints, but he may have made a small change in some of the way that his mechanics of throwing are, so that he was getting more of that hyperextension that going along with it. I'm not sure about that. I didn't pay that much attention to the before and after mm-hmm. pictures of him throwing, but there's certainly a concern about that. It's really kind of interesting to me that the single largest study that's been done on baseball players with this problem comes out of Japan. And so I don't know if there's if there may be even a little bit of a type of throwing that is sometimes taught mm-hmm. That causes this kind of a reaction. And so, you've got a concentration of it happening in Japan. Well, maybe he's learned something here just recently that may have pushed him that direction. I really don't know that, but it may be more of the mechanics of throwing that would be important to look at.
A thought here on, Darvish has got good command when he's on of multiple pitches. This region, is it going to affect his breaking pitch, slider, fastball change? I mean, yes is probably the answer, but what pitch is it most likely, this region, most likely to have the biggest effect on?
Man, I got to believe it's going to end up being his, you know, his fastball. Just because, there's just such that torque effect. When it's hurting like it is now, it's every single pitch.
Every pitch when it's this painful, and we'll see how the Cubs move forward with their rotation. Darvish, 5 years left, $101 million. Reasons to rest him. A Jock Doc Wednesday, Lincoln Orthopedic Center. Dr. Doug Tavis with us. Dr. Doug, continue to stay cool, and we'll get into fantasy football season pretty soon, partner.
Oh, here we go. All right, man. Take care.
Dr. Doug Tavis, Lincoln Orthopedic Center. How about caller 5 right now for UFC tickets? A pair of those. Caller 5 right now for UFC tickets for Saturday down at PBA. Caller 5. Right now for UFC tickets, 466-3776, 466-3776, caller 5 right now.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
All right, tomorrow on the show, George Darlington, former Nebraska assistant. Get his take on Nebraska for 2018. How about a Brandon Vogel sighting? We miss Vogues. And how about Gary Barnett? We'll have some news on Urban. We'll get Coach Barnett's thoughts on that.
And we'll have two tickets to give away, two pair of tickets.
So four total, but two pair of Ultimate Fighting Championship tickets Saturday.
That's right.
I have hired enough male dancers for my wife's 40th that we'll have reenact our own Ultimate Fighting Championship.
Are you going to be there and stay and watch?
No, I'm just going to go eat the food I'm making.
Just sit in the back, let them do their thing?
Yeah, I'll let her and her little friends enjoy the show.
Are all the husbands coming too? You guys will all be hanging out?
I pray to God they are.
Otherwise, you're screwed, pal. You might have to call me up and get me in there.
Yeah, you have an emergency at work. Quarterback decision. Gotta be on air for it. Okay, 11 Warriors reporting, and that's Dave Biddle. Dave's a good dude, been on with this before. That here's the holdup. Ohio State President Drake pushing for a suspension while the Board of Trustees opposing that.
You don't say.
So, here's what happens. Drake either gets the win or gets fired, but he looks like the most hireable man in academia for standing up to big, bad, brutal football. And yeah, there's been some BS that's gone on in football. I'm not ignoring that at all. But come on, man. Everyone's been there hanging out. The pizza delivery guy is waiting to get tipped. You should have sent for Lazari's. It's just me.
Would have been there by now.
And it would have been worth waiting through. So, yeah, that's kind of what's going on. Danny, what's your plans tonight?
Tonight, let's see. Probably just staying in watching Daniel Murphy, first game as a Cub. Let's hope we could turn things around offensively.
Yeah, what have you guys been averaging, about 2.5 a game?
Probably about 1 now. Just terrible. At least our pitching's a little bit better.
Rizzo crushed one from his knees, though.
Yeah.
That was pretty sweet.
That was impressive.
Are you sad about Darvish? I know Dr. Doug was giving you some hope that, all right, it could be a lot worse.
Yeah, look, it's kind of hard to be sad considering he really didn't make an impact this year. The sad thing
is, Lester's not been good.
Lester was amazing first half, second half. He struggled his first few games. Hopefully he can pick it up tonight. Mm-hmm. His last start was good too. Cole Hamels is money though. Mm-hmm. He's going to be our number one unless Lester picks it back up. But the thing with Darvish, it sucks because of the money we spent. We gave up Arrieta, who would have been at least reliable. Mm-hmm. But you know, if Darvish turns it around next year, which who knows what his deal is going to be, I won't be devastated, but it'll still suck. It still sucks, but what are you going to do?
Well, what are you guys up, 4.5 on Milwaukee?
Now we're up 2.5 on the Cardinals. Cardinals have been red hot.
Jeez. Yeah, that's not a rivalry or anything.
No, we're still taking the Central, though. The Cardinals will get in the wild card spot, but the Cubs are still taking the Central.
See, that I like the National League West has been entertaining.
Yeah.
AL West is insane.
The Astros have been choking.
Oh, big time. I'm hoping Oakland.
Yeah, they lost today, but
puts a run together. I like Oakland. All right, we are done and back tomorrow at 4 with Hail Varsity Radio. Have a great Wednesday night. Thanks for tuning in, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.